Okay, at this time, I'd like to welcome Chaplain Hill to the pulpit.
Good morning, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, young and old. I need to tell you that I grew up in a Christian home. My daddy was a preacher, and as a young boy, I thought there was two kinds of people on this planet, hypocrites and more hypocrites. And I decided at a very early age I wasn't going to be one of them. That I was either going to be sold out for the Lord or sold out for his adversary. And needless to say, I spent 20 years wearing a little Girl Scout hat, and I was one of the devil's disciples. But even through all that, I can look back at five particular times in my life when I saw death face to face. And it didn't bother me a bit. I was not afraid. It took me till I got my life adjusted and the Lord moved on me to show me the error of my ways, that heaven was going to have not one sinner, but it was going to be full of hypocrites. That I had to become the very thing that I thought wasn't going to make it. He said, it's not you, it is me. You won't make it. It is me who has paid the price for you. That's the good news of the gospel. I'd like to thank Ruby and Charles Lucas for giving me this invitation to stand before you today. I can tell you that growing up, we had guest preachers. And they would start preaching, and they'd quote this word, they'd quote that word, and I'd be trying to keep up, and I'd say, forget it. I didn't know if that guy was telling me something he'd made up or if it really said that, but I never could keep up with him. So I'd take a pencil and try to write it down, and he'd be quoting it faster than I could write it down. I couldn't keep up with it then. I thought, well, how in the world do I know who's doing what? I don't know if he's telling me right or he's making up something. How do I know? And this is what I know. If I tell you, so saith the Lord, you can bet and carry it to the bank that I'm reading it out of this word. Because that's what it says. So saith the Lord. Not so saith me. And it is a dire responsibility to call yourself a minister of the gospel. So much so that this book says that on Judgment Day, members of the fivefold ministry are going to be told to stand over there. There's a little special circumstance for you. So it's not a light thing to call yourself a minister of the gospel. It is a very serious thing. I need to tell you that I am a simple man of faith. I told the Lord in the beginning, he and me. Just the way it works. You tell me, if it's simple, I can tell somebody else. If it's complicated, you lose me and I lose them. And I learned that this mustard seed of faith that I have moves mountains. It works. His word is true. The scripture tells us in the book of Corinthians, Paul writing that I am not adequate to speak to you, but it's him in me who will speak to you, and he is more than adequate. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, Father of us all, we invite you now to be in our presence, to present yourself to us as the Most High, to provide enlightenment to your word, to open our minds and our eyes and our hearts to hear from you. Heavenly Father, we ask a special blessing to be poured out on those who will hear your word today and then act on it. We ask that you be mindful of those who are ill and weak, who are hurting and who are experiencing pain and suffering in their minds and their bodies. May you provide the healing balm as we pray at this very moment. We beseech thee to keep us strong that we may help the weak. Keep us uplifted that we may have words of encouragement for others. And help us to make the best of each day that we may give our best in all that we do. Clear our minds now that we may hear from you and to accept your teachings and your guidance. Grant us the courage to see sin in our lives through your eyes and acknowledge it for exactly what it is. And when we do commit sin, that is the sins of omission as well as commission, help us to see the need for repentance and for forgiveness, and help us to learn to forgive ourselves. We ask that you continue to use us to do thy will. And most of all, Father, I am thankful that I know you can change people and circumstances this very day. I pray a blessing over every home represented here this morning. We thank you for your love, that it continues towards us in spite of our failures and our shortcomings. We're in sincere and everlasting gratitude for what your Son did on that cross on Calvary. For that, we can never say thank you enough. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When Mr. Lucas first approached me about being your guest speaker, I said, well, I'll have to talk to my dad. That's a serious thing. And so I said, okay, fine. Let me see what he would say. And the Lord said, absolutely. This is your chance to make these people shine, to make them smile, to lift up their spirits and encourage them that God is on the throne. He hasn't gone anywhere. He is on our side. And if you read the last book and the last chapter and the last verse, it says, we win. That is the good news. And so God would tell me that he is faithful. And that's my word to you today, that he is faithful. Remember, I didn't say we were faithful. I said he is faithful. Because we certainly are not faithful. If one thing we are unfaithful. But God is continually faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, and how grateful we are for that. I couldn't help but check with Mr. Webster to find out what Mr. Webster said a mother was. As you and I know, people today swear by Mr. Webster. They don't swear by God's word, but they'll swear by Webster. If Mr. Webster said this is what this word means, then by golly, that's what it means. The word may be contrary, but we'll go by Mr. Webster. Nobody questions him. Anyway, Mr. Webster says that a mother is a female parent. That's pretty simple enough. God's holy word tells us that mothers are loving, that they're appreciative, and they are remembering. I remember as a young lad when my mother would correct me. And during that time of correction, she would remember stuff that I had forgotten. I thought, man, this correction is going to last for a while. We find out from the word that there are six kinds of mothers. There are good mothers. There are joyful mothers. Prayerful mothers, cruel mothers, troubled mothers, and scheming mothers. What would God require of us? What is our duties towards our mothers? It's real simple. Top on the list is to honor. We are to honor our mothers. This, by way, comes of a commandment. Of the Ten Commandments that Moses carried off that mountain, the fourth commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy life might be prolonged. In other words, in simple layman's language, this commandment has a curse attached to it. And it says, honor thy father and thy mother, or I will shorten your days. So when you look around in this sanctuary and you see all of these wise elderly people, now you know the reason they are here. They were taught to honor thy father and thy mother, and they are living witnesses to it. Not only are we to honor and obey our parents, especially our mother, even though God himself holds the father responsible for teaching his children. But we've sort of laid that aside, and we have delegated that to our wives. And all throughout Scripture, we hear over and over the same theme. God is talking to mothers and to grandmothers and commending them for teaching the children the way they should go. Grandmothers are excellent teachers. Not only are we to obey and honor, but we're to protect them. Adam was remiss in that he failed to protect his wife from the enemy. When he saw Satan talking to his wife, he should immediately went there and socked him in his nose. Said, back away. You want to talk to somebody? Talk to me. No. I need to talk to your wife. Nothing has changed. He has not changed one bit. He is still the same. He is still after mothers. And why does he go after mothers and not fathers? Why? And as Dr. Hale alluded to, that man was created from dirt, not a woman. A woman wasn't created from dirt. She was created from the man. And she was called a helpmate. And she was called to be the balance between him and her. Because that means God didn't give him all the qualities of himself. He gave some to his wife to keep him in balance. And how many times you hear this? Well, dear so-and-so. Oh, shut up. You don't know nothing. I'm the man. I'm in charge. Uh-oh. Seemed like I remember Abraham telling Sarah that one time. What? Be quiet. I'm in charge. I'm the man. I'm the patriarch. And the Lord said, excuse me. That's me talking to you. Whoa, really? Yeah. You need to listen to her. She's full of wisdom. She's here to help you, keep you out of trouble. We call it woman's intuition. I'm here to tell you there's no such a thing as woman's intuition. What it is a quality of God that he gave to the woman that he didn't give to the man. And remember, Satan was right there when he put the man down and took his rib and formed him a helpmate. He was right there. He saw the whole thing. He's going, what in the world's going on here? What? Who is this? What's her role? What's the deal here? And so he saw God form the woman, and he saw God give her qualities that he didn't give to the man. And one of those qualities is called a trusting spirit. You don't believe me? Take your car, go outside, pull one spark plug wire loose. It'll still run. Drive it to the nearest gas station and say, man, my car's running rough. He's going to tell you you need a new engine. You need some serious repair work. Where all you need to do is just stick that wire back on that spark plug. Now, if your husband takes a spark plug wire off and takes it to the gas station, you think that guy's going to tell him, oh man, you need a new engine? He's going to say, oh man, the spark plug wire came loose. Oh. Why? In our culture today, I would be safe to say the majority of the mail that comes to your mailbox is addressed to your wife. All kinds of credit cards and all kinds of vacation offers, and we are just inundating the mother side of the house, trying to drive a wedge between her and her husband. That's what he did between Adam and Eve. He drove a wedge. But I must also tell you that we owe Eve some credit, because in the Word it tells us that we are not to add to or take away from this. The Creator of all things wrote this book from back to front. He knew the end as well as the beginning. He knew the middle. And you can divide it into three parts. It's real simple. Jesus coming, Jesus came, and Jesus coming back. That's what this book says. That's all. You can all go home. If you understand that, you understand this book. Now, I can tell you that when I went to Bible college, we prayed before every class. It was a very humbling experience. And I remember studying the book of Isaiah, and it was after lunch. And you know, after lunch, you just don't feel like sitting in a classroom and listening to some guy. You know what I mean? Rigor mortis sets in, and Polynesian paralysis sets in, and your eyes want to go shut, and ears go closed. You go, oh, man. Whew. Well, anyway, this was the first class after lunch. And as we went in, we had our prayer, and he said, okay, clear everything off your desk and get out a piece of paper and a pencil. This is not the best way to start a class. Get out a pencil, paper, and a pencil. Wow. And he said to us, for you guys that are interested in a grade point average, this quiz is going to do wonders for you, because you're going to make 100 or you're going to make a 0. Now, anybody knows anything about grade point averages? It takes you years to get over a 0. I mean, a 0 just kills you. Well, anyway, he told us to take out our Bible and read Psalm. I forgot what chapter it was and first what verse, but anyway, it said something like a king went to Jerusalem. Okay, shut the Bible, put it away. Write your name on this paper, the date, and this class number. Now, here's the question. Of what you just read, write down the most important word. One word. Holy, one word. Man, say, what was the name of that book? What chapter? Oh, boy. Most important word. Well, geez, it's between King and Jerusalem. Jerusalem. I got a 0. But I have to confess, everybody else in there got a 0 as well. I mean, we could only choose King or Jerusalem. You can't. What else can you choose? It's the only two words there that mean anything. So we all took offense. Hey, hold it. Hold it. Wait a minute. If it's not King and it's not Jerusalem, what is the key word? He says it was the article A. A? That's not a word. That's a letter in the alphabet. In a sentence, it's a word. And the lesson he was teaching us was, unlike any other book, this book must be read word for word. If you leave out one word, you change the meaning. If you add one word, you change the meaning. The devil is in this book 246 times. He is real. He wants you to read this book. The devil. He wants you to read this book. But he adds something to it. He says, whatever it means to you is what it means. Hello? Where's the danger in that? Well, we got 200 people here. I'm going to have 200 different translations. This is not good. So which one is right? Who's right and who's wrong? How do you know? How many different versions are they of this book? Well, I have one Bible. It's got 26 translations in it. It is about this thick. 26 translations. Wow, what? What is going on? Here's what you know. Jesus said, I must go so that I can send the Comforter to you, who will teach you in all righteousness and truth. Now, when you read this word, first, don't start reading it unless first you've invited the Holy Spirit to teach you what it means. That's His job. And I guarantee you that whatever God meant for it to say, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. And if we all read the same thing and the Holy Spirit tells us what it means, guess what? We all get the same meaning. Not my translation or my interpretation. His. That is truth, and truth will set you free. There's also, you hear today so much about this God of love. I need to tell you that He's also the God of wrath. And we talk about Jesus coming back. And we have all these pictures of Jesus. I'm here to tell you that no picture you have looks like the picture that Isaiah describes for us. He was beaten beyond recognition. I'm talking about He was beat for you and me. They literally ripped His beard out of His face. They beat Him with a cat of nine tails. You will die of internal bleeding if you get beat with a cat of nine tails. You will die. It is a very agonizing death. He did that for us. And more so, His mama had to stand. I'm sure she wasn't standing. And looking upon her son and not being able to recognize him because of the beating he had taken. Scourged was the word. Scourged for you and me. It was a terrible price to pay for the sins that we're guilty of. But He did it willingly. He said, Thy will be done. Today, in most Christian homes, we have a plaque hanging on the wall that's called the Ten Commandments. And of course, we're the New Testament people, so we're taught we live under grace. We don't live under the law. Well, you need to go back and read this book because God said some of those laws were in perpetuity. What does that mean? It means that Christ did not do away with them. He said it in Himself. I did not come to remove the law. I came to fulfill the law. And we have 10. And of course today, you know, we're a hurry-up society. We ain't got time to read all that. So, you know, can you give me the short version? Well, what you have in your house is the short version. You have the short version. You need to read it for yourself. What does it say? I'm going to share that with you. And in the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus, in verses 15 and 16, this is the Lord's word. Then Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. When you read in the book of Revelation where they're looking, John is called up to heaven and saying, who is worthy to open this book? And it says that book was written on the inside and the outside. Now, for those of us who happen to be fortunate enough to own our home, we have a deed to it. That deed is written on the inside and the outside. On the outside, it tells me that this is the deed to my house. I don't have to open it to know what's in it. I know what it is. And this scroll that only Jesus is worthy to open is the deed to planet Earth. And he is found worthy to open it. God says, honor thy father and thy mother so that thy days may be prolonged. Or, as I said, if you don't do this, your days will be shortened. And in closing, I need to share with you the greatest story that was ever told. In the 1 John, the 5th chapter and 7th verse, it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And it was here that the greatest story that is ever going to be told originates. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what John tells us in 1 and 14. Isaiah, the major prophet, some 700 years before Christ was born, wrote, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And you, my friends, can receive eternal life right now, here and now, at this very moment, by placing your trust in the Lord Jesus. And if you will receive God's plan of salvation, you will live forever with him in heaven. Paul wrote to us in Romans that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the greatest story ever told. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, creator of all things, the Father of mercy and grace, we are humbled, Lord, by this opportunity to represent you. We ask now that you pour out your spirit on these people and cause peace to surround them. Let the spirit of contentment come in their households, that they have a roof over their head, clothes on their back, and foods in their tummies. And as we look around in this world, we hear rumors of wars, and we hear about wars. We hear about pestilence in diverse places, and earthquakes and famines. Help us, Lord, to rejoice when we see these things coming to pass, because you've told us in advance that we need to look for them, and that we need to rejoice because these are birthing pains. Help us to be strong, strong foundations for those around us as you enlighten us that this is part of your plan. Help us to keep our eyes on the gold and our minds on you as our redemption draweth nigh. For it is in Christ's mighty name we pray. Amen. And thank you.